So we are, we're daf. Let's just start again from the bottom of daf Yadalad Amud Beis, the last two lines. We started this 2 weeks ago, but we can just review very briefly because that's really the topic of tonight. Where it says the following. So there's a concept of lav hanitak la'aseh, that if a lav is connected to an aseh, normally speaking, let's say the Torah says, don't leave over Korban Pesach meat, right? So that's a lav. So if you leave over Korban Pesach meat, you should have to get malchus, you should get lashed, but there's an aseh link to it. The Torah also says that if you have any meat left over, so then Ba'esh Tisrofu, you should burn it, so that's an aseh that fixes the lav. So the Gemara said, we're in this, the second to last line of your Dalman Beis, just quickly reviewing, Amarabba Barbarchan Amar Yochanan Kol Lota Say Shekidmo Asay Lokin Shekidamo Asay Lokin Alav. So what Rav Yochanan said was that that's only true if the lav precedes the asay. But if the asay precedes the lav, so then you would get malchus. What does it mean that the asay precedes the lav? So we saw two different explanations. Tosfos seemed to say that it means that you could theoretically perform the aseh before the lav. So in other words, you can't, let's say in the case of leftover Korban Pesach meat, it says, and if you have anything left over, you burn it. You can't, the aseh can never come before the lav. The lav always comes before the aseh. But, so that's one explanation of lav shekadamo aseh. If the aseh can come before the lav, so then you would get malchus. And a second way of understanding this, perhaps Rashi requires that, and also that in the psukim, the aseh is written before the lav. So Rav Yochanan says, if the aseh precedes the lav, then you do get malchus. So now we turn the page to today, this week's daf, this week's amud, amrulo. So others who heard that Rav Yochanan said this, they were astonished, and they said, Amar, did you really say this? And he backtracks. He says, Amar lahu, no, I didn't really say it. He said, no, I didn't say something like this. He retracted, according to Rashi. Chazar bo. It's interesting, because it's the way the Gemara says it and the way Rashi says it are two different things, in a sense. The simple reading of Rav Yochanan is, he's saying, like, I never said it. Rashi's saying is that I don't say it anymore. Like I don't know if Rav Yochanan is sort of not saying the truth, or if he's simply saying I don't say it now, right? In other words, they say did you not say this? And he says lo, and Rashi says chazar bo, he retracted. So I'm not sure how to read that exactly.
Now, if anybody, I think Rabbi Chana retracted.
No. Rav Yochanan, the Amr Lo, they said to Rav Yochanan, did you say that? Amr Lahem Lo, he said to them, Lo, Chazar Bo, he retracted. The Gemara is going to say, my time up.
But the Amr Lo, I think, is the one who said, which is Rabbi Bar Chana in
Bar.
No. Look, Achayim Sheh, no, look at Rashi, Barty. Amr Lo, Achayim Sheh Shamuhu Mishmo Velo Shamu Mipiv. Others who heard it in his name but didn't hear it from his mouth, right? They said, did you say this? They're asking of Yochanan, did you say this? And he said to them, no, I didn't say this.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's interesting. Did he actually say it? And he doesn't want to give the false impression or whatever. You don't want to say like he retracted, or when he's saying, no, I didn't say this, means I don't say this anymore. But in any case, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, we're in the top line of Tezvah Min Aleph, Holokim, by the name of God, Amra, he did say it. You know, he did say it. And Uchsiva, and it's written in the Torah. Now, there's the source for this in the Torah. Vitanina, there's a source for this in the Mishnah. Okay, so Ksiva, how do you know, where do we find that it's written in the Torah? Because it says, in the midst of sending out someone who's Tomei, Pasuk says, V'yishalcho min ha-machane. So this is a mitzvah saseh to send away someone who's tamei, that he shouldn't enter into the mikdash. And afterwards, the pasuk says, "V'lo yitamu es machaneim." They should not make their camps impure. So this is a prohibition if someone goes into the Mikdash who is Tameh. So by the way, here you have both. You have the mitzvahs asay is written before the mitzvahs lo taseh, because the Torah says v'yishalcho min hamachane, that's in Bamidbar Perakei Pasuk Beis, and the lav is afterwards, it's Perakei Pasuk Gimel of lo yitamas machareihem, and also the asay could precede the lav, because let's say that's, in other words, the classic case is what? You violate the law, you walk into the Mikdash in your Tameh, and they're going to say, fix it by how? By you have to leave the Mikdash. But in this case, you can actually have the Aseh before the law, right? Because let's say he walks into the Mikdash, and he becomes Tameh in the Mikdash itself. So if you become Tameh in the Mikdash itself, so then the mitzvah Aseh could be fulfilled before the law. Okay, so in this case, what's the halacha? So here, this is an example of lav shekedamo aseh, the aseh precedes the lav, and there, antanina havala mikdash tameh, and we learned in our Mishnah, that if you go into the mikdash while you are tameh, then you would get malchus. So now, Rabbah is saying, I understand you, Rav Yochan, what does this mean that you retracted? Like,
Rabbi. Yeah, I looked at Fantino and it says Amrulo is to Rabba Barbara Chana.
Really?
Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't there. They're in Bethel. Rabba Barbara Chana was transmitting Rabbi Yochanan's words to them.
So, So I have in my Masifta Gemara, I guess it could be Machlos in Sansino, Masifta Gemara, I hear you say, he said, this is the Ridvan, the Aruch Haner. They say that it was, they heard it, they asked Rabbi Yochanan. I hear what you're saying, Marty. Because, right. So there are different. You're right. There are different interpretations. As to who it is. I hear what you're saying. We don't know who the they is. Also, by the way, the they could be people who came to Eretz Yisrael.
If they heard Rabbi Bar Yochanan say in Bible, then they went to the S.W. Yochanan.
That could be. Okay, so now, Ella, my time a kahadar base. So why did Rav Yochanan indeed retract? I guess I'm going with that understanding. Mishum de kasha le ones. Because he had a difficulty with the case of rape. What's the case of rape? So the halacha is the Tanya, because we learned the price. Ones shegerash. So let's say a man rapes a woman. Now, again, this is one of these situations where it's a little difficult in today's day and age, probably. To conceptualize, we're talking about a frum guy, someone who is frum, other than he let his passions overcome him, and he raped this woman. Okay, now I'm not sure how to how to be politically correct here. The Torah says at her option, she is allowed to force him to marry her. I mean, that's interesting, right? Because you would think in today's day and age, if someone rapes a woman, the last thing the woman would want to do is what? Is marry the guy who raped her. Okay? Although we do have the story with Amnon and Tamar, that my understanding, and the people who are more expert in Navi than me in the Zoom meeting, but if I recall correctly, that after Amnon raped Tamar, so then I think Tamar may have wanted to stay with him a little bit, and Amnon said, get away from me. He hated her after he raped her. So we're talking about a situation where someone, I don't know if it was like a violent kind of, again, I'm not justifying this at all, chas v'shalom, okay? I'm not justifying
this. Yes, Rabbi, when you're talking about this, so a lot of today's rapes have to do with power.
Right.
It has something to do with the sexual act.
Right.
But if you're talking about someone who had, well, you said his passions got a hold of him, passions have to do with something that someone feels attracted to someone. And then, of course, if the woman, in those days, women needed to be protected and taken care of,
right.
And she could be afraid of having being pregnant as well, then this might
I agree sense. With you. That's the best way to say it, Ben. You said it, I don't think I could say any better than that. You have to say this is not a case of violence, or it's a case of a power imbalance. It's a guy, otherwise from guy, who let his passions get the best of him. And now we have the situation where this woman now, she is now no longer a basula. She's no longer a virgin. She's no longer protected. No one's going to want to marry her. He's an otherwise good guy. He just let his passions get the best of him here. So she has... What?
Is that... Even if he's not such a good guy, I mean...
What?
Even if he's not such a good guy, he has to marry her. She wants him.
I understand. I'm trying to understand, Marty. Why would she want to marry him? So, okay. Right. Okay. So, I understand. Right. What?
What you're saying is true. Well, it would be... She can marry a Cohen if he's not a puzzle. But she might, her value may have gone down a lot.
Right. You have to, there's a classic case they talk about. Let's say a woman has a lot of boils. She has a mukashchin. She has a lot of boils and she doesn't look so, she's not so appealing to begin with. So this might be her best option. It's hard to relate to today's day and age, no matter how you slice and dice it. Okay. But in any case, so in this case, where a man rapes a woman and then he divorces her, so what do? He violated, again, so what does it say? There's an ase and a lo tase. What's the Mrs. ase? V'lo tia li'isha, that she has to remain a wife for him. There's a lo tase, which is lo yucha l'shalcha. He's not allowed to send her away. So the halacha is, im yisrael hu, if it's a yisrael, then he's machzer v'ein eloka. So they get back together. He's obligated to remarry her. Obviously, this is all at her option. She could choose not to. But he is obligated to remarry her if she wants, and he doesn't get malchus. Im kohen hu loka v'eino machzer. If he is a kohen, then he gets malchus, and he doesn't. Because once the kohen divorces her, then he's not allowed to marry her, because she then is a grusha, she's a divorcee. A kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, so he would get lashed. So now the Gemara says, im yisrael hu machzer v'eino loka, right? So he says that the Gemara says that if he's a Yisrael, he's machzer, and he doesn't get malchus. Amai, why is it so? Lo tase shekadamo asehu velilke. This is a classic case of a lav shekadamo ase. The ase precedes the lav, so therefore he should get malchus. Now, why are we saying that he simply remarries her and he doesn't get malchus? He should get malchus. This is a lav shekadamo ase. So that's the problem. You see, on the one hand, we think that Rabbi Yochanan retracts, or Rabbi Rechanan, I'm going with Rabbi Yochanan retracts, because we have the case of the person who comes to the mikdash when he is tameh. That's a lav shekadamo ase, and you do get malchus. But you have this case of onesh shegerash, where it's a lav shekadamo ase, and he doesn't get malchus. Now we're asking, why did he retract? So he retracted because of this particular case, because this case apparently you don't get malchus. Okay, so I just want to point out. Let's look at the Tosfos here. We'll do two Tosfos. We'll do two of the Tosfos. Okay, so one was the previous section, where it says Tanina Habala Mikdash Tameh. So there's a halacha, the Mishnah says, if you come to the Mikdash and you're Tameh, then you get Malchus. Loke Mishum De Lo Have Lav Hanitak Lase Lefi Shekadabu Ase Lalav, right? This is the classic Lav Shekadabu Ase. The Mitzvah Ase precedes the Lav. Sending you out of camp when you're Tameh precedes the Lav of not Lo Yitamu Es Machanehem. So Tosus asked the following question. V'im Tobar, and if you want to say, Dilma, maybe shiny hasam. It's different over there. Deika tre lave, that there are two lavim. That there are only two lavim. Velo yitamu machanehem, velo yitamu mikdashi. Velo ase chad ase v'akar tre lavim. He says, wait a second. You have one ase and you have two lavim. So he says, you can't bring a proof. You can't bring a proof that lav shekadamu ase, you get malchus in this case. Maybe the reason why, if you come to the mikdash in your tummy, that you would get malchus is because there are two lavim. Lo yitamu machaneh, lo yitamu mikdashi. Dahachi mishanina bitmura gabe hamer yamir. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to exchange a korban. That's the prohibition of tmura. You're not allowed to exchange a korban. Dimishum hachi, lo have a lav hanitak lase Mishum deika tre lavim velo akar chad ase tre lavim. In the case, if someone violates the prohibition of exchanging one korban after you designate it for another korban, you violate the prohibition of exchanging korbanos. There are two psukim. One pasuk is lo yachlifenu. The other one is lo yamir. And there we say that you would get malkus because there are two lavim. So maybe the only reason why, if you go into the mikdash, you're tamei. Maybe there we say the only reason you get malkus is because there are two lavim. And Tosa says no, veishlomar de lo dami. It's not similar to these cases. The shiny hasam the trei lavim smuchin la dadi lo yachli fedu velo yamir also. The pasuk says lo yachli fedu lo yamir, so that's one right next to each other. So if you have an asay followed by two lavim that are right next to each other, so then the asay does not override the two lavs. Avahacha de edim smuchim isa lav shikdamu asay have nitak. However, here since the two lavim are not next to each other, there is the two lavim only have the power to say that you get malkus if they're next to each other. If they're not next to each other, they don't have the power to do that. That's what Tosus is arguing. Okay, and therefore the reason why you do get malkus in the case of you go to the mikdash in your tameh is because it's a lav shekadabo asay. And then we have this other Tosfos which says the following case. Why don't we say, wait a second, if someone's a Kohen, let's say a Kohen rapes a woman and she wants to get married to him. So he marries her. And then what happens? He divorces her. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that he can't marry her because she's a grusha, she's a divorcee, and therefore he would get malchus. But wait a second, says Tosfos, isn't this a case of Lekel Amibar Da'asi Asif Dochilota said? Why don't we say, I mean like the Hagosa Bach's reading of Tosus, why don't we say that you have an asay and you have a lotasay? An asay overrides a lotasay. What's the asay? That velosia leisha. There's a mitzvah asay that if a man rapes a woman, then I don't care, koin, non-koin, whatever it is, he, at her option, they have to be married forever, as long as both of them are living, at her option. That's a mitzvah asay. You have a lo tasay that he's not allowed to be married to a grusha, or he's not allowed to have relations to a grusha. So why don't you say that there's a concept that asay overrides a lo tasay? So here we want to say, it's a Tosfos answer, it's the asay she'eno shave bakol. This is an asay that is not equal among everyone. The ha'im amra lo ba'inan lei leka asay klal. It's not a very strong asay. In other words, when does an asay override a lo tasay? When it's an asay that always applies. But here, like for example, like today, I would say probably 98% of women, or maybe more than 99% of women who are raped by a man, would probably say, thanks but no thanks, I don't want to marry you. And I'm sure even in those days, there were women probably who didn't want to marry the guy who raped her. So since it's not an asay that applies to everyone, it's a weaker asay. Normally speaking, an asay overrides a lo tasay, but a weaker asay does not override a lo tasay, and therefore the Kohen gets malchus and he doesn't marry the woman. Okay?
That doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
The asay is that he has to marry her.
Right.
She can turn him down. He's right. Still got the asay of having to do that.
Right. So you want to say that you could argue like this. You could argue that since it's at the you want the logic behind this. You could argue that since it's at the option of her, that it's not something that you really always have to do. You're right. If she wants it, she always have to do it. But maybe the logic is, and by the way, there are different versions of this Tosos. Maybe one version, he doesn't like. Maybe the other version of Tosfos is sort of following your logic, Ben. So not to see what you're saying is very reasonable. I think what Tosfos is saying is that since it doesn't always happen, it's true. It's by her, but what it means is it's not such a powerful assay. You have to ask yourself, why does an assay override a lot assay, right? So it could be that. Yeah. And this, why should not say override a lo tasa? What's the reason for that? Why should not say override a lo tasa? So again, there might be something about the power. See if I see anything here. Let's see if I see anything here. Yeah, I think that. Right.
Usually we say that, like in Yavamas, it says that when they're sort of connected, the classic is Dilim Tasilacha and L'sil Bashatnes.
Right.
So when it's telling you almost immediately, you know, you do this mitzvah, and
it's automatically.
And the lav, this mitzvah is overriding that lav that's near it. That's right. One reason.
Right, there's another version of Tosos which says a weaker asay because it only applies to Kohanim. This concept in this particular instance, it's based on. That's actually something else. I don't want to get into that. That's another answer. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. It could be that what we're saying is there's an asay lotasay that if the asay always applies, the lotasay is as if it never exists. So it may only apply if the assay is powerful, if it applies all the time. Okay, sorry if Ian requires greater...
Couldn't the assay be looked at as the obligation to marry her, which he did? And then he divorced her, which was a low assay.
Right. So low tialeisha means... That low tialeisha means that he always has to, that low tialeisha always, if she wants... I hear what you're saying. You're saying Loti Elisha means, yeah, he just has to marry her once, then he can divorce her. It doesn't violate anything. Loti Elisha.
Yeah, right.
You're saying that it would only be a law if he would violate, but not the assay. You're saying the assay is only to marry her the first time, but if he divorces her, he's only violating the law, but he's not violating the assay because he filled the assay by marrying her. Yeah, that's not the way. It's an interesting reading. I don't think the Gemara reads like that, but I hear what you're saying. But in any case, that's how Tosus understands why the assay is not docha the lotse. I actually thought of something else, which is could be that's what's interesting. It's like here you have the assay, which is, well, I guess the assay is sort of done once. That's interesting. Quite lotse alishos is once. Every time he has relations with her, it's another love. I don't know if that comes into play, but in any case, okay. In any case, what we're trying to figure out. Why Rav Yochanan retracted? Because here's a case of a lav shekadabu asay, the ode shegeirash, and here we say you don't get malchus. So Amar Ula says, wait a second, no. There's a reason why you don't get malchus in this case. He says lo yomar lo tia leisha beodes veligmar b'mimoti shemra. You don't need to. The post doesn't need to say lo tia leisha by the case of ones. And you can learn it from the case of Moti Shemra. What's the case of Moti Shemra? Let's say a man claims that he marries a woman. He does Kiddushin, right? There are two steps to the marriage process. There's Kiddushin, and then there's Nisuin, right? So Kiddushin is where he gives her the ring. And then when they're together, you know, he takes her to her house and they're together, that's one way to consummate the marriage. So he does Kiddushin, gives her the ring. She's now married to him on a Kedushin status. And the first time that he has relations with her, he claims that, no, she wasn't a basula, she wasn't a virgin. Okay? And he spreads this horrible rumor about her. Okay? And then what happens is he's found to be lying. He's found to be lying. So there, by Motzi, in that case, right, Uma Motzi Shemra, Shelo Asamai, so what did he do? He just sinned through speech. Right? He just sinned through speech. And Amar Rahmana, the Torah said, V'lo tia le'isha. So that's another case where what? He lied about her. He ruined her reputation in a similar way to someone who rapes a woman. Obviously, one's more of a violation. But in both instances, at least back then, it was viewed on one level as ruining her reputation. And in the case of Motzi Shemra, so there at her option, he has to remain married to her. Ones lo kol shekein. So certainly, if someone did a physical act of ruining a reputation, certainly he should be obligated to marry her. So therefore, you don't need the word, the phrase lo tia leisha in the case of ones, because it's obvious that she should that they should remain married. So she says the following. So what's this phrase talking about? What is it? Im eino inyan lafanav teneo inyan lacharav shim gerash yachzir. So this lotia liisha, what must it be referring to? In a case where he divorced her. In other words, there's a pasuk which says lotia liisha. We want to know what's the purpose of this phrase. Is it come to tell you that if a guy rapes a girl, if a man rapes a woman, so then he is obligated to marry her? That's obvious. Because in a case where he ruins her reputation through Motzi Shemra, then we say he's obligated to marry her at her option. Certainly, if he ruins her reputation by a physical act, certainly he should be obligated to marry her. So why say Lotia Leisha? Comes to tell you that if he divorces her, unlike most instances where we would say you get Malkus, here, because of Lav Shekadamu Aseh, this is an exception, Lotia Leisha, where he actually has to remarry her. So we have a special reason why, specifically in this case, even though it's a Lav Shekadamu Aseh, you don't get Malkus, but normally you would get Malkus. So Gemara says, wait a second, Vakate still, only to Motzi Shemra, lo Gamar, you cannot learn the din of Ones for Motzi Shemra. The Ika Lamefrach Lamoti Shemra, Malamoti Shemra Shekain Loke Umishalim. It says you can't use a Kavachomer and say that, if by Motzi Shemra, where he just spoke negatively against her, he has to marry her, Kavachomer, that if he does the physical act of raping her, that he has to marry her. No, you can't use the Kavachomer, because maybe Motzi Shemra is a very strict halacha. How is Motzi Shemra more strict? It's strict by virtue of the fact that not only does he get Malkus, but he also has to pay. Okay? So maybe that's Motzi Shemra, even though it's speech, it's a much stricter case. By Ones, he doesn't get Malkus. Right? He doesn't get Malkus. So maybe I might have said that had the pasuk not said velotia leisha, I might have said that in the case of Ones, you wouldn't have to marry her. Just because you have to marry her for Motzi Shemra doesn't mean you have to marry her for an Ones, because Motzi Shemra is a more machmir, because we see by the virtue of the fact that it's lokel mishalim. So therefore, lotia leisha is necessary to tell her that he has to marry her in the first place, but not that he has to marry her after the fact. So we reject that answer of Ula. Ella, rather, now we want to say, we're trying to still figure out, why is the lav of Ones a lav hanitak laasei? That's what we're trying to figure out now. Why is the lav of Ones shegeirash, why is it a lav hanitak laasei, notwithstanding the fact that the asei precedes the lav? So we want to say maybe for this reason. Ella lo yomar, Lotia Leisha b'motzi shemra v'ligmar me'ones. Maybe, right, it says Lotia Leisha by Ones and also by Motzi Shemra. So maybe it didn't need to say the phrase of Lotia Leisha in the case of Motzi Shemra, and you can learn it from a Kava Chomer from Ones. Why? Uma Ones she'ena loka umeshalem. In a case of rape where you don't get Malkus and pay, right, you only pay. You only pay if you rape the girl. You only pay for ruining your reputation. In that case, Amar Rachman of Lotia Leisha. The Torah says that you have to marry her. Motzi Shemra, which is more strict because you pay and you get Malkus. Lo Kol Shekein, certainly you would have to marry her. So therefore, Lama Namar Lotia Leisha. Like, why does the pasuk say Lotia Leisha by Motzi Shemra? Im Eino Inyan La Motzi Shemra, Teneu Inyan La Ones. Im Eino Inyan La Fanav, Teneu Inyan La Charav. So now we want to say that the phrase of Lotia Leisha is extra by Motzi Shemra, and we want to say that maybe that phrase, maybe you can plug it in to teach you that what? In a regular case of Ones, that you have to remarry her if you divorced her and you don't get Malkus. Okay? But then the Gemara says they reject that proof, because we say, Umotzi Shemra mi Ones nami lo gamar. Yeah, you can't learn Motzi Shemra from Ones either. Why? The ikala mefrav mala ones shekein asa masa. Because what? Because ones has something strict that you actually didn't act. What, by the way, what's clear from here, from the Gemara, the give and take of the Gemara, is that motzi shemra and ones, each case has something about it which is more strict than the other case, and you cannot learn any kavachomer as one to the other. Motzi shemra is stricter than ones by virtue of the fact that the punishment is more severe. It's loka and mishalem. You get malchus and you pay. And ones is more strict than motzi shemra by virtue of the fact that you actually did an action as opposed to speech. So one is because of the crime that you committed, and one is because of the result. That now the and so therefore you can't learn if it says lo tia leisha in one case, you can't learn it obviously in the other case, because each side has a stringency and a leniency. So therefore, Ella, so the Gemara now clarifies, why is the lav of ones a lav anita klase? We're still trying to figure this out. Ella lo yomar lo tia leisha b'motzi shemra shehare ishtohi. He says, wait a second. The pasuk says, that she has to be his wife. What's the case of motzi shemra? The case of motzi shemra is what? He's married to her already. The case of motzi shemra is what? He married her, right? And then he said, the wedding night, right? The next day he says, wait a second, you're not a basula. You're not a virgin. He's found to be lying. He's already married. So what is v'lo tia le'isha coming to tell you? Right? Mm-hmm. Lama nemar. Im eno inyan lamotzi shemra, teneo inyan laones. So therefore, if it can't talk about motzi shemra, you could talk about it. Maybe it's talking about ones. Im eno inyan lafanav, teneo inyan lacharav. So maybe it comes to teach you from the v'lo tia le'isha b'motzi shemra, you know that. So fill it in to the case of ones, in the case of, you know, if he divorced her, that he has to marry her again, he doesn't get malchus, and it's a lav, and that's the, and it's, and lo tia leisha is the asay, and therefore it's a lav aditak laasay. The Gemara says, wait, but that doesn't make any sense. Ve'ema im eino in lafan of motzi shemra tenei in lachor of diday the lo laki. He says, wait a second, no. He said the following: if lo tia leisha, let's say, is extra. If you're telling me lo tia leisha by motzi shemra, remember there are two cases. There's a case where the guy lies about his wife not being a basula, and you have the other case that the man rapes the woman. If we're trying to say that lo tia leisha is extra, the meaning that he has to remain married to her. If it's not referring to, in the case of motzi shemra, if it's not referring to a case where that he has to marry her because he's already married to her. So just say it's referring to what case? The case is, if he divorced her, then he has to remarry her in the case of motzi shemra. That, you know, don't learn it from ones. Don't learn it from ones. And so the Gemara says, inachinami, you're right. Va'asi ones v'gomer mina. Yeah, but you can learn now ones from motzi shemra. In other words, where we are now, and it's very technical, where we are now is we're saying that the lo tia leisha by motzi shemra is telling you that if you divorce your wife about whom you lied about and saying she wasn't a basula, so then you have to remarry her. And if you have to remarry her in the case of motzi shemra, certainly in the case of ones, you also have to remarry her. And the Gemara says, well, wait a second. But my government, how are you going to learn from the case of motzi shemra to ones? Iba kavachomer, iba mamatzinu. Whether it's a kavachomer, whether it's a mamatzinu. Mamatzinu is more of what's called like a binyanav. It's where we're saying it's similar. Kavachomer means that this case is lenient and the other case is stricter, or more severe. And a mamatzinu is that the cases are similar. One's not saying more lenient, but they're similar. Ika lemefrach, mal motzi shemra shekein lo asamasa. He says, you can't learn from motzi shemra to ones. You can't learn from ones because motzi shemra has a stringency that ones doesn't have. So even if lo tia leisha tells you that by motzi shemra, if you divorce her, you have to remarry her, we still don't have a pasuk to tell you that in the case if you divorce a woman who you raped, then you would have to remarry her. That is all we have still is the lav shekadamu asay. And so why are we saying that you have to remarry her? You should get malchus. If lav shekadamu asay, then you should get malchus and you shouldn't have to remarry her. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you why. Ella Omar Rava. Rather, Rava says the following. Kol yamav ba'amod v'hachzer. It says the following. It doesn't just say lo yuchal l'shalcha. What does the Torah say? The Torah says lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. He is not allowed to send her away all of his days. The words kol yamav is extra. Okay? So rather, you could explain that the intention of the pasuk is to say that he is not allowed to send her, lo yuchal shalcha, and if he does send her away, then she cannot remain in this state, kol yamav. In other words, he has to remarry her. So in other words, there's a mitzvah asay to remarry her. V'chein ki asa rabbi namav yochanan, kol yamav ba'amod v'hachzer. So he wants to say that, and this is what Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that from the words kol yamav, it means that he has to take her back. So in other words, where are we now after this entire discussion? So we're in the following place. We said that if the asay comes after the lav, that's called a lav hanitak lasay. That's a lav that's connected to the asay. The asay fixes the lav because it comes after the asay comes after the lav. Like the case is, don't leave over korban pesach meat, and if you do, burn it. So there you don't get malchus if you leave over the meat because the asay fixes it. And then we said, if it's a lav shekadamu asay, if the asay precedes the lav, if it can precede the lav, then you would get malchus. What's an example of that? If you come into the mikdash and you are tameh. In that case, the asay preceded the lav in the psukim. Then when it says v'yishachu mina machanehem, that precedes the lav of lo yitamu es machanehem. Additionally, you can, right? So therefore, you would get malchus. Why, in the case of machzer, in the case of the ones shegerash, someone rapes a woman and then she decides she wants to marry him, and then he says, "I divorce you." And how do you? And so, why there do we say? Why don't there do we say that you get malchus? That's a lashik double asay, because there's an extra phrase, kol yamav. Kol yamav tells you that this particular lashik double asay, you don't get malchus for. And you have to remarry her. Okay? So now Rav Papa, okay, so now Omar Le, so that's sort of that piece. Now, Omar Le Rav Papa Larava. So now Rav Papa says to Rava, he wants to know, how could Rav Yochanan say that you get Malkus on a lav shekadamu asay? How can that be? How can you get Malkus on a lav shekadamu asay? It's not similar to the to lav de chasima, where the Torah says lo sachsom shor b'disha, right? Well, that's the classic case. Just remember this, right? The Torah links these two psukim. In Sefer Devarim, context is key. In Sefer Devarim, there are a whole host. Of mitzvos, which seemingly, some of them seem to be random. And so we don't only learn halachos from what is written, but where it's written. The Torah says you should not muzzle an ox while it's threshing. Yeah. And then the Torah says, right after that, it says that, or maybe it's before it, the Torah says, talks about malchus. So therefore, we learn from this that what? That only... the only prohibitions for which you get malchus are similar to the lav de chasima. The lav de chasima. So for example, lav de chasima, it's an action. It's not just speech. So what we're asking here is the following. How can you say that you get malchus on a lav shekadamu asay? It's not similar to the lav de chasima. The lav de chasima is only what? Is only the lav. There's no asay. Now, it's not similar to the lav de chasima. Lav de chasima is where the Torah just says a lav. It's not a case where there's an asay before the lav. So why do you get malchus for this? So the Gemara answers, Amar le, Rava answered Rav Papa, Mishum de kasa ve'rachmana. Just because the Torah has an extra asay, mikra gara, does it make it worse? In other words, the Torah says don't do this. Okay? So that's, and if you do it, so you get malchus. That's like a lav de chasima. Now the Torah also says, by the way, you also have to do this mitzvah saseh. Does that make it worse than the lav de chasima? Right? In other words, the way the Ritva understands, let me read you the language of the Ritva here. He says, Shezo svara pshuta, that this is an obvious logic. Shekoma shedorshim milav de chasima shelo lokim al mi shelo domalo. That we make drashos, we make different types of drashos, so the lav de chasima, that you don't get malchus on anything that's not similar to it. Hainu la osam hakali mimenu. That only refers to the lavim that are more lenient than it. Aval lechamuri mimenu ein lil mod. But if there's a law that's more strict, you cannot learn from it. Shehare kol shekein sheyelke alem. That behold, that certainly you should get malchus for them. Okay, so in other words, let's give two contrasting examples. Okay, so the Torah says lo tachsom shor b'disho. So let's say God forbid someone gossips. If someone gossips, they violate the Torah prohibition of lo selech rachil ba'amecha, that you should not be a talebearer. You committed a lav. Should you get malchus if you gossip? We're saying no. Why do you not get malchus? Because it's not similar to the lav de chasima. But by the way, we're not simply saying it's not similar to lav de chasima. What the Ritva is saying is that it's not similar and less severe than the lav de chasima. Because the lav de chasima is an action, right? And let's say gossiping, that's only speech. So it's dissimilar in the fact that it's less. However, a lav shekedamo asay, it's dissimilar in the fact that it's more severe. You have the regular law that you violated, which is similar to law of the chasima, and in addition, you have an asay that you're violating. So now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if so, wait a second, law shenitak la'asay, all right, nami lema. So also a law shenitak la'asay, right, you should also say this, right?
Same logic.
What?
Same logic.
Same logic. Right, mishum dechsav beirachmana ase yisera migragara. What are you going to say that because there's an extra? What's the difference if the ase precedes the lav, or the ase comes after the lav? Why don't you say like in the case? Let's say our case, right? You're not allowed to have leftover korban pesach meat, and if you do, you have to burn it. So let's say the lav that's just as severe as the lav of chasim of muzzling your animal. So there's also an ase. So I understand. So why'd you say there also that you should get malchus for that? So the Gemara answers. So Amar Le, Rav answers, Hahu Linatuke Lav Hudasa. So he wants to say that no, that's a special reason. That there the asay comes to fix the lav by virtue of the fact that it comes after, it's specifically coming to fix the lav and to exempt you from malchus. So in other words, what the Gemara is really saying here in the end is that it seems to me what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why lav hanitak la'aseh you don't get malchus for, it's not because it's not similar to lav de chasima. It's because there's a special, the Torah is going out of its way to say that the aseh is after the lav to tell you that even though it's a severe lav that you committed, here you can fix it. Similar to, let's say, the case of the Onesh HaGeirash, where it says, Kol Yomav, the Pasuk is telling you that you fix it, as opposed to getting Malchus. However, this notion of fixing the Lav only applies if the Aseh comes after the Lav. If the Aseh does not come after the Lav, then it doesn't come to fix it, and then we're saying that the Aseh, then we're saying that the Lav is just as severe as the lav de chasima, and therefore you would get malchus in the end. Okay? Okay, so let's. So we'll stop here today. Okay, we'll stop here. So it's a little bit shorter than normal, but we will. We'll stop here today, and we'll continue, God willing, next Wednesday.
Mazel tov, Rabbi. By the way,
thank you very much. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
take care.